Check. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. But I, too, want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And this morning, I want to recognize someone who's also here. You may not be familiar with a man by the name of Pastor Nick. We're glad you're here today. Pastor Nick, he leads the New Road Church that meets here on Sunday afternoons. So be sure that as you're heading out today to say hello to him and give him a word of encouragement as they continue to meet weekly here. And as we start this morning, this is our Christmas season. As I told our students this past Wednesday, it's that time of the year, isn't it? And so the question is, how many of you are like the pre-Thanksgiving? Let's get the Christmas music going. Let's get the ornaments and the trees up by October 31st. Okay, there's like three of you, and that is just weird. And then there's the other group, right? How many of you are like, it is only after Thanksgiving do we do anything? Okay, so the rest of you just like, we don't even do anything. We just hope that Christmas arrives and that the tree will be up, you know, these magical little elves show up. But this morning as we begin our Advent season, we're going to be taking a look at a series called Prepare the Way. And when we think about preparing the way, we're talking about this idea of reflecting upon Jesus coming into the world. But what I wanted to do just for the next few moments is I want to share a clip with you of a gentleman by the name of Buddy. And Buddy hears an announcement that there is someone special who is coming. And so I want you to watch this, and I want you to see how Buddy reacts, and then we're gonna continue our time together. Well, isn't that interesting that Buddy was so excited to hear that someone special in his life was coming. And if you think about it, he said, I know him. And then later on in the film, what happens is that once everybody leaves Gimbel's, he creates this winter wonderland, not just in the toy department, but throughout the whole store of Gimbel's. Why? Because he knew that someone special was coming. And so for you and I this morning, that's what we want to look at in our series, Prepare the Way. And we've mentioned that we're in our Advent season as well. And some of you may be thinking, what is really Advent? What does that word mean? Well, the word Advent, by definition, means a coming into place, a coming into view, or being, arrival. And so for us as followers of Jesus, we see that we are preparing the way for Jesus. We are reflecting upon the arrival of our Lord and Savior into the world. So over the next couple of weeks together, we're going to be taking a look at this idea of preparing the way for Jesus. Next Sunday, we're going to take a look at Jesus' mother Mary, who was a part of Jesus coming into the world. That's kind of obvious, but she was a part of preparing that way. Then the next week, we're going to take a look at a gentleman by the name of Zechariah. Zechariah was a gentleman he's the father of John the Baptist. And so we're going to see how he plays a role in preparing the way for Jesus. And we're going to see this over 2 weeks through songs, Mary's song and Zechariah's song. And finally, we're going to conclude on Christmas Eve by taking a look at the song that never ends. And so today what we want to do is we want to take a look at the prophet Isaiah. Now, a prophet is someone who was a messenger for God. He spoke for God. He gave God's instruction. And so Isaiah is going to share with us this morning in our passage about preparing the way. And so in your outlines this morning, what we want to say is our main idea is this, is that we prepare the way because Jesus is coming. We prepare the way because Jesus is coming. What we see today in our passage in Isaiah is that Isaiah speaks of the Messiah, the Savior, who is going to come for his people. But also, again, as Christ followers, you and I are preparing the way for Jesus' second coming. And what happens when we speak of this idea of preparing the way, for many of us, including myself, we put a wall around our heart. And what we do is we have so much in the way of allowing God to come and reorder our lives. But yet, the hope of the gospel tells us this, is that God brought Jesus to clean up what we messed up. And when we move from this idea of keeping a wall around our heart and our lives are in disorder, and we move to a life of repentance and faith in God, he forgives us. And Jesus begins a process of transformation in our lives. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament. And as you're turning there, I wanted just to give you a brief summary of the whole book of Isaiah in just about 30 seconds here. So Isaiah chapters 1 through 39 really is describing punishment. That's what it's talking about, punishment. And then we'll see today in chapters 40 all the way to the end of the book of Isaiah, it's about deliverance. And at the end of chapter 39, the prophet Isaiah is telling King Hezekiah, he says, listen, I've been given a vision, I've been given a picture of what is to come for God's people. It's going to be one of captivity, and Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And that ends chapter 39. And then there is about a 150-year span between the end of 39 to the beginning of 40. And now it starts out with Isaiah saying these words. And so let's look together at Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 1. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So in the midst of what the people of Israel are going through, it's coming to an end. Isaiah is saying there is someone greater that is coming. Your deliverance will be here soon. And also that it is God's chosen one who will be the one who is coming. So as we started this morning, we said that we prepare the way because Jesus is coming. So for the next few moments this morning, I want to take some time to talk about joining in the Advent. And what I want to say to that is that when you and I, as followers of Jesus, participate in the preparation of Jesus coming, I want to share two things that you and I can bring when we do so. And the first is this, is that when joining in the Advent, we bring relief. We bring relief. Verses 1 and 2 here in chapter 40 of Isaiah speak of God's intention, God's purpose for his people. Long ago, God promised his people through Abraham that he would look after him. He made not just a promise, but he made a covenant with them. But what God wanted to do in this moment was he wanted to speak directly to their hearts, because God knew that they would turn their backs on him, not just then, but they would later. But he wanted to speak directly to him. He wanted to say, listen, I want to let you know that I am on your side. Because the people needed to be convinced. They needed to be persuaded of God's love for them. They were in a deep and dark place, wondering, is God ever going to show up? Is God going to be there? And yet what Isaiah was telling them was that, listen, you will be revived. And when you are set free, you will be able to rebuild your lives once again. You see, God was saying that punishment is now coming to an end. And I want to bless you. I want to be the God who has always been there. And I want to continue to be there and to look out for you. You know, I don't know about you, but I know in my own life there are times when I want to do my things my way. And I turn my back on God. And we do that. And what we do is we take captive the very things that aren't of God, the things that God intends and purpose for each and every one of us, and we destroy the very things that were once important in our lives. And so for you and I, what we may even do ourselves is begin to ask, God, are you really there? God, are you going to come through? And as we learn throughout our series in Romans, is the scriptures tell us that yes, he will. It may not seem like it. You may yourself be in a dark place. You may feel like God is so distant, but yet he is there, and he's coming. Just hold on. And you know, I want to encourage us that we cannot expect him to do things the way that we want them to be done. And you and I need to be sure that we understand that it's how he plans it, not how we plan it. It's his agenda and not ours. When I think about this idea of bringing relief, I look to the cross. Because the Bible tells us in John 3:17, all of us are very familiar with John 3:16, right? But John 3:17 says, "For God sent his Son into the world to not say, 'You're guilty, you're in trouble,' but he came to save it." He brought his Son into the world to save us from eternal separation from him. And see, what God did was he brought relief in the form of a manger, the form of a cross, in the form of an empty tomb. And his intention for us is not only salvation, but it's life, and life that is eternal. And because Christ has done that for us, you and I can do that for others. There was a time when my wife and I were married early. I'm still married. Sorry about that. Let me rephrase that statement. Early in our marriage, we lived in Georgia for a time, and we had some very close friends. And our friend, she was pregnant, and I'll never forget the phone call we received on a Thursday night. It still gets me now. And they called and they said, "You know, Becky has lost the baby." We're like, what? 7 days before she was due. And we picked up everything and we went to the hospital. And I remember going there and being with our friends, and it was really, really hard. I'll be quite honest with you. Imagine it could be hard for us, but for them, my goodness. And we would go, we went for about 3 to 4 days in a row, and then we would spend time with them at home. My friend, he was very angry. And I remember during that time, all I could tell him was, "Here's the deal, man. I have no answers. But what I can do is I'll be here for you. You call, I'm there. You want to yell and scream, I'm there. You want to cry, I'm there." And we did all that. But all I was asked to do was to bring relief, to bring comfort. You know, we're still very good friends with him. We got to see him this past summer. And now God has blessed them with 3 beautiful children. You know, their oldest daughter just went on her first mission trip. That was pretty awesome. But what I'm trying to get at here is that we have been asked to bring comfort. We have been asked to bring relief to others, to encourage them, to let others know to hold on. Help is coming. Maybe we even need to be people who bring relief to others to say, "Yes, God will forgive you no matter how broken you are, no matter what you've done. He is there for you." The scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "All praise goes to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. He is the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. He consoles us as we endure the pain and hardship of life so that we may draw from his comfort and share it when others in their own struggles." You see, God has comforted us because of Christ. Christ brought peace between God and man. And so you and I can take the opportunity to bring comfort and peace to others. So really, when we talk about this idea of joining the Advent, the question is, where do we need to bring comfort? Where do you and I need to bring relief? And you may be sitting there saying, "Jeff, listen, I'm the one who needs comfort. I'm the one who needs relief. Thank you very much." But listen, you notice we have a family of faith here that we can look out for one another, to encourage one another, to bring relief to one another. We celebrated with Kim today, right? Thank you for your wishes and your prayers. That's what we do. That's what God has called us to do. So maybe for us today, it's to say, "God, you brought relief to me. Would you show me and help me to bring comfort and relief to others?" So when we join in the Advent, we bring relief. And the second thing that we do is that we bring a message of hope. We bring a message of hope. You see, Isaiah tells us in verses 3-5 of God's intervention, God coming in, breaking in through time and history. And he tells us of how God could comfort his people. And it's in one of two ways. The first is that he was saying that there will be someone who prepares the way for God. And the second is Jesus, who is coming to be the human display of God the Father. Isaiah tells us of a voice. In verse 3, And looking ahead, as we've already said this morning, that voice is John the Baptist. You see, in January, we're going to be in a series called Word. We're going to be looking at John chapters 1, 2, and 3. And what John is doing is he's saying, listen, not only prepare the way of the Lord, but he is letting us know that there is a Savior who is coming to support his people. Verse 4 tells us of things that need to be removed in order for the king to come. You see, in that day and time, what would happen is if they would hear of a dignitary or a king that was coming into a city or a town, they would ahead of time go and look on the roads and say, is there anything in the way? Are there rocks, are there trees, are there people, are there dead animals? Whatever it was, they would remove it and get it out of the way so that that dignitary could come without anything stopping that processional. And so I thought of that, and I thought, for many of you, you know that our family is going to Disney World. Well, if you've gone to Disney World, have you ever been there at a time when the parade's getting ready to start? And what happens is, like, they're like militant. And, you know, it's like a happy-go-lucky place, and there's thousands of people, and all of a sudden, get out off the road. Literally, they're like, please get off the road. Don't sit on the bridge over there. Don't do this. What is going on here? And so they move us because they want the road cleared. And I remember we were walking into the Magic Kingdom, and you come to a point, and there's this big circle, and I'm like, I want to go this way. Nope, you have to go that way. But I want over there. Nope, you got to go. And they're literally like almost pushing us to go. It's like, easy, killer, you know? And but why? Because they know that processional. They know that parade's coming, and they were removing us out of the way. But that's what we see here. When we bring a message of hope, we are preparing the way for Jesus to come. You see, verse 5 tells us that Jesus is coming onto the scene. And what we see is that, once again, Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. And so I need your help, students. We just learned this Wednesday, so you may not remember. I think you will. But we said that Christmas is all about what? Starts with an R, goes to an E, S-C-U-E. All right. So, kids, what is Christmas all about? Rescue. That's right. That's what we said, is that this time of year, we reflect upon our coming of our Lord, but Christmas is all about rescue. And see, the second advent of Jesus is coming. See, there's going to come a time for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ where he comes back. He's going to rule and he's going to reign forever. Forever. I don't know if we can wrap our minds around that. I know I can't. But the scripture tells us for those who have said yes to Jesus Christ, surrendered their lives to him, we will have eternal celebration with him. But the scriptures are also true in where they say that not only will Jesus Christ rule and reign forever, but for those of us who have said no to Jesus Christ with our lives, God says it's eternal separation. What did you do with my son who came? And that's why we have a cross. And that's why we have rescue. And that's why Jesus came, to bring peace between God and man. You see, we bring a message of hope by saying, I will be that voice. God, I will be that voice at Upper Moreland High School if you want me to. God, I will be that voice of these teenagers who come here to Hope, or the fifth quarter kids, or God, I'll be that voice if you want me to be that voice with my family, my extended family. I will be that voice. And it may be for you, it may be, I will be that voice on my school campus. God, I will be that voice where I work. God, I will be that voice in my home. God, I will be that voice wherever you want me to be, because I know the message is about a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And it's not just being a voice with our words, but it's being a voice in all that we do as well. When we lived in Georgia, my cousin, his wife, played for the University of Georgia Marching Band. So when we would go to games with him, we would get to go in with the band, and they would play and do their deal, and then we would walk onto the field. That was so awesome. And so as we're walking onto the University of Georgia field, then what would happen is that we would go to our seats, because they wouldn't let us stay on the field. But so we would go, and Tina and I would go sit in the student section. So let me tell you, they never sit down. All right? And they were just screaming. And then when the kickoff came, it was like, whoa. sick them. It's just crazy. And this place is just going mad. They never sat down. And I'm going, this is just absolutely insane. But here's the deal. Not one student, not one person at the University of Georgia football field said, keep that to yourself. Keep it down. We're at a game here. You know that, right? But what they did was they had one common purpose. That was to root for the Georgia Bulldogs. And they were unashamed to scream at the top of their lungs, to say, go, sick 'em, hoo, hoo, hoo. I mean, think about that for a moment. What if we said, wow, I will be the voice wherever I work and wherever I live and wherever I play. God, I'm a part of your kingdom. We sing this, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. God, everything I do is for you. And so for you and I, what we can do is we ourselves personally say, God, what I need you to do, just like those roads were leveled, I need you to level my heart. We said last week about there may be things in our lives that are on the throne of our heart other than Christ. And we say, God, I need you to level me. God, I need you to help me in areas because I'm still in process. But yet, as I am in process, God, here's what I want to do. I want to be that person who gets the things out of the way for those who I know, those who I love, so that they can see Jesus because he's coming. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 61:1, and I want to encourage us with this. I love this verse. It says, the Lord God has put his spirit in me because the Lord has appointed me to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort those whose hearts are broken, to tell the captives they are free, and to tell the prisoners they are released. We're going to be hearing about that Spirit of God throughout our series as well. But it is God that does the work, as we've learned over this our Romans series. But it's me that he said, I want you to let them know there's freedom, there's liberty in the person of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about bringing a message of hope, the question for us is, are we going to be the voice God is looking for? In all that we say and do, are we going to be the voice that God is looking for? I hope that we will say with a resounding yes when we're asked. Say, I'll be that one. Whatever you need me to do, but I'll be that voice. God, I'll be obedient to preparing the way for you. So we began this morning by saying that we prepare the way because Jesus is coming. And we slipped in there a little bit that Christmas is about rescue. We said that we prepare the way by joining in the Advent. And we bring relief and we bring a message of hope. This morning, we began with Elf, the clip of him hearing that Santa was coming, and we said that he prepared gimbals for him to come. And throughout the film, one of the things that Elf never did was he never changed what he believed. He said he's coming. Now, here's what I want to say today. I am in no way comparing Santa to Jesus. Okay, let's just be very clear, okay? Because they're not even on the same, not even close. And if you watch Narnia, like, Santa bowed. He's like, there's the one true king coming. That's all I'm saying. But what we're saying here this morning is that he prepared. Got everything ready for that person, that one who was coming. And he never changed what he believed. He let everybody know, I know him. You see, the question for you and I this morning really is, what preparations are we making for the advent of Jesus? How are we preparing for the coming of Jesus? You see, we can have the trees and the presents and all, and they're amazing. I love gifts, okay? So don't get me wrong. But if Christmas is all about rescue, then how are we preparing? It's not just a beautiful baby Jesus, which is true, because a lot of times this season of Christmas, a lot of people are more open to hearing about Jesus. But yet we said it's a manger, it's a cross, and it's an empty tomb.
That's the whole package. And I know him. And I hope to the best of my ability, because that's not much, and with God's help, that I can prepare the way of the Lord. And so what are we doing to prepare for the advent of Jesus? Maybe for you today, maybe there are things that are on the throne of your heart. Maybe there are obstacles that have been in the way for you to say, yes, Jesus, I want you as Lord and Savior of my life. For those of us who are a follower of Christ, here's the thing. The good news that we once received when we said yes to Jesus, that good news still applies today. So if you're in a dark place, if you're in a season where you feel that he's not there, the good news is still there. He is there. He is for you. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He says, I'm coming. Just hold on. Maybe for you this morning, the obstacle is that, you know, listen, there are many things that are in the way of me seeing the transforming power of Jesus Christ. You know, each Sunday, you hear that there was a God who sent his son into the world to die for our sins. And yet, each week we say, well, you know, maybe next week, or, you know, there's just so much that's in the way. But maybe today that you've seen the truth of the gospel, you've seen that there is a God whose God's love sent his son. If that's you today, I would encourage you to take that time, and whether it's with myself or one of the elders, we would love to share with you what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if it's anything, you can bring it to him. Not only that, Christ is willing to forgive us. He's willing to heal us. He's willing to bring us comfort. But it all begins when we turn to him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30, as we close, there's a short phrase that's mentioned. And this is when Jesus was presented in the temple, and there's a man by the name of Simeon who makes this statement. And he says this, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." That's what he said. And so for you and I this morning, you and I have been invited to join in the Advent. We've been asked to be a part of preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. And when we do, when we say, I want to prepare the way, I want to be a part, you begin to follow God and his intentions and his purposes, you will see him show up in a great and mighty way. So our part is bringing relief, and our part is bringing a message of hope. So let us prepare. Let us prepare the way. Let us prepare the way of the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning. God, we are amazed at who you are. You're a God who could have said, convicted, guilty. God who could have turned your back on us the moment we turned our back on you. And yet, Father, you didn't. The moment that we as humankind turned our back on you, you began your plan of redemption. And God, you made promise with person after person after person to say that I will be your God and you will be my people. God, my prayer today is that we would see that we can be people who join in the Advent, that we can be people who bring comfort, and we are people that bring a message of hope. God, whatever obstacles are in our way, Father, would you make them very evident, God, and you would remove them. May we participate in your transforming work in our lives. God, may we take this Advent season, this Christmas season this year, and see it in a new and fresh way. We thank you for breaking into history. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who is the human display, the glory of God. Father, as we pray each Sunday, we need you. And Lord, let us be the voice that you're looking for. So prepare the way prepare the way of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen.